here. As you know, we've been, if you've been here for the last few weeks, we've been going through a series called Just Two, which is about the two greatest commandments that Jesus shared. And I don't know if you've noticed in our community that we've had different projects, different things going on. I mean, even on the way to church today, you probably saw right down here, there's some signs. I don't know if you know, they're putting stop signs going this way. I think, how many wrecks do we need to have before we say, hey, we need something here? But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The new road cutting through over there by OSU. I know Lois and I on Thursday went out, OSUM, doing the groundbreaking. They're building a new engineering science building out there, which is awesome for our community. And if you maybe read, they're building a brand new $7 million presidential library downtown. So, you know, that's another great thing. But, you know, all of those things happen because somebody had a passion to make them happen. They wouldn't be there. I know the other night, Lois and Grace and I went down to Columbus, went to see the new Jungle Book movie and out to eat. And so we were driving home, we were driving around. On the way back, we looked over and noticed there was some lights on at Ohentangy High School. So we were there. She just, we pulled in and see what's going on here. So we pulled in while here there was a lacrosse game. I don't know if you know what lacrosse is, where they have the sticks with the net on it and they throw the balls and stuff. But it was pretty passionate. I don't know if you've ever watched the lacrosse game, but it's where they take sticks and they basically, you try to get the ball in the goal, but most of the time you're beating somebody else with a stick. They just whack, 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 whack. You know, and that's what, and it's like, and there's lots of yelling. I mean, if you ever said they're yelling at each other and everybody's what to do. I mean, it's all this going on, but they're passionate. I mean, there's a lot of passion going on out there on the, in that game. And another thing that brought a lot of passion, I don't know if you read this week with Target, what they decided on Tuesday, that Target decided that if you feel like a man or feel like a woman, you could go to the, if you're a man and feel like a woman, you can go to the women's bathroom, and if you're a woman and feel like a man, you go to the men's bathroom. They don't care. You go to any bathroom you want to, just doesn't matter. And just since that, to just the American Family Association, already had 190,000 people sign a petition to boycott Target and say, hey, if somebody's messed up, I don't want them in the bathroom with my daughter, you know, or with my son. So, you know, but that stirred a passion, you know, and hopefully we have passions like that in our life. And I know probably each one of us has different things that we're passionate about. I'm sure at one time we probably are passionate about a sports team. And if you probably started talking to some of us, you could probably pick one of these teams and there's a passion you will discover in somebody. Not all of us, but somebody. If it is not a team, it may be a restaurant. You know, you ever been to a restaurant and it was really, you thought, you know, somebody you start talking about, you start talking about the food, you start talking about what's going on because it stirred something. It's like, wow, that was great. You know, I really enjoyed that and stuff. Or, you know, another passion that really stirs sometimes is with family. You start talking to a parent or grandparent or somebody about their family, their kids, their you know, what's going on and stuff, you can discover there's a passion there. You know, there's things to start flowing out of them. And some of us have hobbies. You know, some of us like knitting or like hunting or like fishing and or motorcycles, you know, and stuff. And you start talking to ones about it, you can tell there's a passion that starts coming out. You know, and that's good. I mean, it's good for us to have passions in our life. You know, it's good for that to happen. In fact, the Bible says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So in other words, what's in our heart, we're going to talk about. You know, with those passions, it's just part of us. Next verse, another verse says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, you know, it's good to have passions. It's good to have our heart full of treasures. To have things that we're excited about in life. God, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. You know, and that doesn't mean that we're just focusing on one thing. You know, there's a lot of times you've heard, I don't know if you've heard, that you can basically tell about somebody's life if you just look at two things. You look at how they spend their money and how they spend their time. And if you look at that, you can get a pretty good picture of what somebody's passions are, what's in their heart. The verses we've been looking at is says John or Mark 12:29 says, "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Can we say this next one together when I get to it? Let's say this together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So when we're putting this together, you know, how does this relate to the scriptures as far as the mouth speaking and our heart, treasure in our heart? How does this keep balance? You know, God is so balanced. He's a very balanced God. You know, whenever people, even in their faith, go to an extreme, something gets out of balance. You know, God made us a balanced people. You just look at nature. You know, when he first created all of kingdom, it was perfectly balanced. When he had Adam and Eve here, it was all perfectly balanced until sin entered and things started getting crazy. And so how do we do that? Well, have you ever bumped into somebody or something that's wet? You ever bumped in or had somebody that was wet, they hug you? You ever had that? Or you just bumped in or you ever stepped in water with like socks on or something like that? You know, it's just wet. I mean, you get wet. You feel that wet. Well, in some ways, our life should be wet for God. There should be a sense that in our life, or a wetness, so if something bumps into us or someone's around us, they're going to get wet. Now, that could be they get wet while we're at a ball game. You know, they could be while we're playing sports, while we're hunting. In a sense, that it's good to have passions, but in those passions, there should be some condensation of God in those passions. There should be something in there where we don't let loose. It's not like, okay, God, I have you over here, and now I'm going to go do these passions that I really like, and I'll be back. But no, it's just he's with us. He's in those passions and having him with us. So how do we get wet with God? How do we have that sense in our life? Well, you know, it's the same thing. It just makes common sense. How do you get wet in the natural? You're around water. So how do we get wet with God is we're around him, spending time with him. And the main way, one of the main ways, is making sure that we spend time in this. Because if you don't have this, the Bible guiding us, you can get off into some really weird stuff. You know, I was reading the other day, you know, just different religions. I mean, it's like they're that close. You know, I was reading, what was it? Buddhism. I was reading about where they believe in salvation by grace. I don't know if you knew that or not, but they believe, but they don't believe it in Jesus. They believe it in some guy out there that's wandering around, you know, stuff. But so so you can get weird stuff if you don't stay close to the scripture and let the scripture be your light and be your guide. But it's not just being around the word, it's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says, and we hear this a lot, that when you're saved, the Holy Spirit was put in you as a deposit. But sometimes, you know, it's sort of like the bank. There's my deposit in the bank, but what about life? I don't spend that deposit in the bank. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit, we receive him as a deposit, but what about spending? What about the spending money? In other words, in the Holy Spirit, do we just stick him in there as a deposit? We leave him in the bank, but we never spend it. We never are out. Where's the Holy Spirit in our daily life and allowing him to guide us in that daily life and taking him, in a sense, out of the bank and spending him in life and allowing him to guide us and teach us and help us? You know, as far as being wet, another way is his people. We need God's. We need one another. And when I say one another, I don't mean just everybody that's in this room or everybody that's on a membership. I don't mean just everybody that's a part of Marian Christian. We need the Christians in China, you know. And then sometimes we can just say, big deal. You know, they're getting persecuted over there. It's not bothering me. I'm free. And I don't know if you read some of what's happening over there, but it's like, no, those are our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, to pray for them. We need them. You know, we need the Christians, however many they are in Zimbabwe. You know, we need Christians. We need one another. So it affects us all. So there is that sense of connection. So we need God's people. But you know what we also need to say what? We need the lost. We need to be around people who don't know Christ, because we begin to feel the compassion. We know, we start seeing his heart for them. You know, to not isolate ourselves in the fact with just one another, but to be out there amongst those who need him and share him. That's one way we're going to keep wet. You know, it's like a faucet. You know, if it's not on, if there's no use for the water, we're not going to turn it on. So it's keeping that faucet on to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us and to reach out to ones. So there's a sense of loving God. But then the second part, he said there was two parts of this. There was loving your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, in the book of Matthew or Luke, it tells a parable that relates to this verse about, and it's a question that people have been asking for 2,000 years. And this expert in the law asked it back then, and the question is, who is my neighbor? You ever ask that question to yourself? Well, who's my neighbor? Is that my neighbor? God, am I supposed to love? Because that's pretty big. Love your neighbor as yourself. So who is my neighbor? Is it this person who lives 100 feet from me? It's in my neighborhood? You know, or is it the person I work with? Who is my neighbor? So you're asking that question. And so Jesus tells him this parable. And he talks about, and you may be familiar with this, where he talks about a parable of a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he gets beat up and robbed, and a priest comes by, realizing Jesus didn't just pick somebody, he picked a priest. Priests in their realm and their culture, the Jewish culture, was like one of the elite high. This is the one person from the lineage of Aaron, Moses' brother, who could go into the Holy of Holies, who could go in and sacrifice. I mean, this person was something. And he said this person, the priest, walked by and ignored the person hurt. The second was a Levite. Levite was like right there too. This was a select group of people blessed by God, ordained by God, called by God to be with God and do God's work. That was the priest and the Levites. And again, he ignored the person. And then he picks the Samaritan. Well, realizing who he was talking to wasn't a bunch of Samaritans. He wasn't singing to the choir here. I mean, he was talking to the Jews who very much hated the Samaritans. They did not like the Samaritans. It was a big issue there. And so he picked them and he said, here's this Samaritan who technically shouldn't even like this guy who's laying there. He's like, hey, good, we got one out of here. But he didn't do that. He went and he helped him. And then he asked him, so who was his neighbor? The issue, which I preached, I was reading an article by a pastor, his name's Parnell, and he says this. He says, so here we are, along with the lawyer, trying to figure out whom we're supposed to love, and Jesus turns the question around. Look at this man who acts in mercy and stop asking, who is my neighbor? There are deeper questions to ponder. There's a man, I don't know if you ever heard of John Piper. And I will say this. John Piper, as far as I know, is Calvinist. We do not believe in Calvinist teaching. We do not believe in that thing. That doesn't mean, though, that if you don't know what Calvinism is, it's basically it's predestination and God only has a select few. He already has knows who's going to get saved and the rest of them, forget you. We don't believe that. We believe, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for whoever believes in him. So everybody has the opportunity. And so, but he says the question is, this is just Pastor Parnell, he says, when you are done trying to establish who this neighbor is, the decisive issue of love remains really, what kind of person am I? Because really, that's the question. When it says, who is my neighbor? It's really, who are you? Who am I? It says the Samaritan, when we can get so caught up sometimes with that question. He says, what the grounds the way we think about neighbors is actually our identity, not theirs. What matters first is who we are. So really, the question Jesus was challenging here is not so much, because we can get so caught up in, well, who's my neighbor? Am I supposed to help that person or not help this person? Is that person supposed to be my neighbor or not my neighbor? Well, really, the issue is, what's God doing? What's the Holy Spirit? It's walking around in a heart of compassion. And really it comes down to how I see myself. Who am I and why am I here? That's really what the whole neighbor question is who am I? It's a question that's been asked for many years. And really that question comes back to how we relate to God. Because we are made in God's image. So how I see him and the image I see him in is how I'm going to see myself. And if I don't see him, if I never take a chance to look at him, if I have no relationship with him, how am I going to see him? So it's looking at him and saying, okay, who am I in you? There's a professor, Daniel Migliore. He's a professor at Princeton Seminary, and he said this. He says, Jesus Christ is the fullest expression of what God intends humanity to be. So we want to say, okay, who am I supposed to be like and what am I supposed to be like? It's like Jesus. And that might be said, whoa, that's really way out there. We're realizing it's the Holy Spirit helping us. So if we want to know how to love God, then it's really we get to know Jesus. If we want to know how to love our neighbor as ourselves, we get to know Jesus. And again, that comes down to how do we know Jesus? Well, it's getting to know him in here. You can read his Facebook page if you want. You can check it out, but this is actually his Facebook page. If you want to know what Jesus' Facebook page is right in here. You know, look at it. The thing is that there's this here, but his present. What is he doing now? You know, what is he doing right now? I mean, I know right now, if you go back and click on, I don't know if anybody's on Facebook, but you go back, click on, you probably got all kinds of postings that's on there that's current stuff, that some stuff is like, why are you saying this? Who cares? But not to offend any of you, but it's like, okay, whatever. But it's one of those things that's saying, okay, Jesus, what are you doing now? Not just what did you do in the past, but what are you doing right now? Get to know him right now. And it's the same thing I said earlier, is getting to know him through his people, through his creation. God is doing a great work today on the earth. He's doing a great work, and it's really up to us if we're willing to be a part of that. It's a choice. I was thinking about the other day, you know, there's a whole study called Theodicy, and it's all based on why God doesn't intervene in bad situations. This has been going on for years and years and years. And the question is, I thought, you know what, well, right from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve, I mean, he could have intervened. He could have said, no, stop. You know, he could have put the serpent to death and into that. But we wouldn't have that free choice. So somewhere in there, he, in him knowing mankind and knowing all that was going to transpire, he needed to keep us having that free choice. But this is what his heart was. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Could our musicians come on up, please? And so God's heart for us is to loving him, loving our neighbor. And you know, and I think he put these in order. Because if we don't love God in the right way, we're going to not love our neighbor in the right way. If we don't know how to love God, we're not going to know how to love our neighbor. So it's learning how to love God in a healthy way and learning to see ourselves in a healthy way by loving God, because that's what's going to happen when we work with that and we're with him. We begin to see ourselves, who we really are. Then we're going to know how to love our neighbor in a healthy way. Because you can get so much into works. Because the reality is I'm supposed to have compassion, but I can't love every single person at the same level. God has called you to love certain people. God has put you, you know, I remember, I don't know where he went to, Dennis Steed. Is Dennis still here somewhere? Anyways, Dennis, oh, there he is. I'm going to share this. Dennis shared, you know, that he worked for how many years down at Honda? 28 years in Honda. And he said, out of 28 years in Honda, he said he got to lead two people to Christ. And Dennis' heart was, he would love to lead every single person in Honda to Christ. What, 10,000 people down here or something? But he led two people. And what I heard him saying that is, here's a man who loved God and was willing to say, God, I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to be here, and I'm going to serve in this factory for 28 years so that you can reach two people that may have never been reached if Dennis was not working here. And I see that's part of our life. God's put you in places because you're going to reach people nobody else is going to. You'll be faithful in those conditions and those places because nobody else, that's what he's called you to do. And so that's what we're doing. We're ambassadors for Christ wherever we're working, at Honda's, nursing, in our school systems, in our neighborhoods, in our family, as though God himself were reaching through us for that person, that his heart was reaching to us, say, come and know me. So get to know God. Enjoy him. I'm going to ask if our personal ministry team would come up. These ones will be available here. I know we've had some prayer already, but if you would like some more prayer. But as they're coming up, I'm going to ask for us if we would stand, please. And just between you and God, and don't worry about anybody around you, but if you're saying, God, I'm willing to be your ambassador, that you can make your appeal through me to this world. However that is, you know, I'm not going to say this is the way it looks like, because it's you. He made you unique and special for you to come. That's what we need. How you express Christ is going to be different than how I am or how somebody else does. And we need all those different expressions that we know him. God, help us to stay, not get tunnel vision, that we miss him and each other because there's that specialness. And we start thinking, well, no, this is the only way Christ can be. No, he's so creative. You know, he's not gonna go beyond what he says in here, but he's so creative in us. So if you're saying, Lord, I'm willing to be your ambassador, and that you can reach through me, if you just lift your hand up to him. And Father, we just ask, Lord, this day. So even as we began this service, Lord, as we begin to say, Lord, it's not on us. Lord, it's not just totally up to us, but it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit. We welcome you to reach, for you to be reaching through us. We ask that you would help us to know you and have a right image of you, so we can have the right image of ourselves. We thank you for your great love for us, God. We welcome your blessing, Lord, and all that you want to reach through us, wherever we are, Lord, that you would show us our neighbor, God, and help us be people of compassion. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.